we're studying this question, what is church? Okay? And as we began this study, one of the things that we pointed out all along is that there's an awful lot of confusion today about church and the whole idea of church and so forth. There's a lot of people that just don't simply understand, first of all, what the church is, and secondly, what it's for. And so then the consequence of that is there's a lot of folks who really don't have a lot of interest or involvement in the church. My clicker's not working very well this morning. If you don't know what it is, then you're not likely to participate in what is going on with it. Again, a lot of people don't know what the church does. We're going to be studying and answering those kinds of questions as we continue in this. And again, then, they don't know the importance of the church. Why is the church so vitally important? Hopefully, we're going to see a little bit more of that this morning in our lesson. There are also a lot of people who just don't want to be part of a church for different reasons. And we've talked about that group of folks who don't want to be part of what they consider to be organized religion. Now, I think maybe some of them like this organized religion. I'm not really sure. But they don't want to be a part of organized religion, that whole idea and concept. There are also those who don't like the, as they would call it, the hypocrites in the church. They like God, they don't have anything against Him, but they don't like His people because they consider church people to be hypocrites. Well, you know, the reality is that yes, there are some hypocrites in the church. Okay? But the reality is also there's a lot of folks who are trying to do what God wants us to be doing. All right? And if you want an excuse not to be part of the Lord's church, then one excuse is just as good as another. Okay? We need to be worshiping God and focusing on Him, not what other people are or aren't doing. Okay? So, we're going to have problems with this thing all morning, I guess. So there are also those folks who just simply don't want to go to church. Okay? They don't want to be involved in a church. They don't want to be part of a church. And that's one of the things we're going to really address this morning. The more we understand what the church is, okay, then, you know, these kinds of ideas like, well, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't need the church. Okay? Or, I love Jesus, but I don't go to church. Well, as we talk about this morning what the church is, then hopefully we'll see that these kinds of ideas do not match. Okay? They simply do not match with the idea of being what God wants us to be. All right? In this study, we have a couple of more lessons we're going to do after this. In this study, we're looking at, first of all, what does the Bible say about the church? And thus far in our study, what we've been looking at is kind of identifying what the church really is. Okay? We're also looking at, okay, what it is, that's what we're doing, and also what is it for? And that's the second part of this study we're going to be looking at. What is the church really for? And then, why should we be a part of it? All right? Here's the situation. When we understand what the church is, okay, then we'll know for sure that we cannot be a part of Christ and not be part of His church. All right? So, what is church? What is the church? Today we're going to talk about the church as the body of Christ. And a lot of these things that I just mentioned to you will answer those, okay? The body of Christ. So we need to first of all understand that the Bible teaches us very clearly that the church is, not belongs to, but is the body of Christ. Okay? It is the body of Christ. It is all of the parts of the body. And one of the things we're going to see this morning is there are lots of parts to the body. All right? And so the body of Christ has head, shoulders, knees, and toes. You know the song, right? Okay? We're going to talk about the different parts of the body and the significance of the body, one body, having a lot of different parts. Okay? But it is a body. In Ephesians chapter 4, Part of what we've been studying in our Sunday morning Bible class, by the way, I'll put a plug in for that. If you haven't been coming to that class, I want to encourage you to be here, 9:30 on Sunday mornings for our study on the book of Ephesians. But here, in this particular part, Paul is talking about the way that these Christians who had been converted from paganism, the way that they were living, and that they had been taught to live a different life. Okay? And so he says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's this idea of I need to take off the old clothes of corruption and sin and put on the new clothes in Christ Jesus. All right? So he then says, therefore. Okay? And we know, as we've talked about before, that the word therefore is a transitional word that takes what has just been said and connects it to what he's going to say. So because you've taken off the old self and put on the new self, he says, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For why? We are all members of one body.
Amen.
Okay, so there's the concern of how are we talking to one another? How are we speaking to one another? We need to be concerned about that because we're all one body. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body. Okay? So here he's talking about our physical body. We got one body and it's got all kinds of parts, right? But all of the parts are all part of one body. He says, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Okay? So there is one body. And all of those who have been baptized into Christ, and we'll talk about this in the next lesson, we'll talk about it more, are part of that one body. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 5, we've been looking at this passage in various parts throughout this study where Paul, we typically look at this and see what Paul says about the relationship between husbands and wives, but overall, generally what he's talking about, he says he's speaking about Christ and his church, all right? And so in this particular part, verses 29 and 30, he says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. So clearly here, Paul identifies the church as being Christ's body. You see? And all of us, being the church, are members of that one body. Okay? In chapter 12, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. He goes on to say in verse 24, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. So there again, Paul clearly identifies the body of Christ as the church. All right? We then look around. Okay? Look around the room. Those of you who are online, if there's somebody worshiping, watching online with you, look at them. But look around and see each of us are part of the body of Christ. Okay? We are the body of Christ Jesus. So, therefore, all right, being part of the body is the same thing as being part of Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really pretty simple. If you are part of the body, then you are part of Christ. So therefore, you cannot be part of Christ if you are not part of the body. All right? If one is not part of the church, which is his body, he is not part of Christ. So, again, for those people who say, well, yeah, I love God and I believe in God, but I don't want to be part of his church, what they're saying is, I don't want to be part of the body of Christ. And that just doesn't work, you see. You may not like the church people, right? But you cannot separate yourself from the body of Christ and still be part of him. Right? Because the two are the same. They're inseparable. Right? In Ephesians chapter 5, again, in that section where Paul is talking about husbands and wives, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and look at this part, and gave himself up for her. Now here's the question, right? How can a true follower trivialize what Christ died for? Just let that sink in for a moment, you see? So when someone says, yeah, I love Jesus, but I don't need his church, they're trivializing what he died for. He died for the church, his body. And when you're denying the church and you're saying, I don't want to be a part of that, then you're making what he died for inconsequential. It doesn't really matter. But we need to understand that is his body. He died for it. And if it's important enough for Christ to die for, then it certainly is important enough for his followers to recognize and be a part of what he died for. Amen? Okay? Let's talk about parts. Okay? Parts is parts. How many of you remember the Wendy's TV commercials when they were talking about their chicken sandwiches that they introduced? Okay? They had a commercial on TV where the customers would come up and they would ask, you know, not Wendy's, obviously it was a spoof, but they would come up and ask at the counter, what's in your chicken? Okay? And the guy would say something along the line of, well, what we do is we take the chicken and we cut it all up into parts, and then we take all those parts and we put them all together and make one big part, and then we chop that big part up into a whole bunch of little parts. And he says, parts is parts. In other words, the idea being that, you know, it doesn't matter. They're all part of the same thing. Parts is parts. Well, parts is parts. Let's talk about the parts of the church. Okay? Because we're all part of the one church. Okay? But what does the scripture tell us about the various parts? How important, for instance, man, that each part really is. So we begin in this section by talking about understanding that the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that talking about Christ, it says he is the head. Okay? He is the head of the body,
man,
and he identifies that as the church. So there it is again. We have one church, which is the body of Christ, and we have one head of the church.
Well,
we talked about this in a previous lesson. There's not two heads. There's not a head on earth, okay, and then another head in heaven. There's only one head of the church,
man,
and that's Christ Jesus, okay?
Yes.
All right, so we have the body, all right, the body of Christ is the church, and Christ himself is the head. In the text that was read for us as we began this morning, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God placed how many things?
All things
under his feet. And appointed him to be head over everything. Come on, clicker here. Head over everything for the church, which is his body. So he is the head over everything concerning the church.
Well,
okay? And that is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So when everything is filled up, is there any room for anything else? No, there's not. That means there's no room for your opinion or my opinion or what you want to do or what I want to do in the Lord's church. It's up to him. He's already decided what's right and what's wrong and what we need to do and so forth. Okay? And he gets to do that, by the way, because he's head. Right? Okay. So he is head over everything concerning the church. Back over to that text in Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife as, and here it is, Christ is the head of the church, his body, and again, of which he is the Savior. Okay? He died for the church. That's how much he loves his church. Okay? Again, in Colossians chapter 1 and 18, look at this part of it. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have, and look at this, the first place in all things. Some of your translations use the word preeminence. Okay? Yeah. Literally, that's what it means, first place. What is that? How does that really work in the church, in being a part of the church? You see, we need to understand this important thing. None of this is simply about going to church. That's not what this is about. This is about being a part of the church, which is the Lord's body. Everybody following me there? Okay, and so in that, he says Christ gets first place. First place.
That's all right.
So we really need to be looking at ourselves and asking ourselves in a very sincere way, say, wait a minute, what has first place in my life? See, is it Christ? Or is it something else? See? And so then, how important is the church and being a part of the church to me? Is that first in my life, or does it fall somewhere else down the list of all the other things that I need to do and want to do and so on and so forth? You see, because what we're talking about here is the body of Christ, and Christ being the head, and Christ as the head being first.
Amen.
To the body.
Amen.
See?
That's right.
And so while Satan would put all kinds of different things in our way to distract us and keep us from being a part of the church, and to come and to worship him and so forth, Jesus says, no, I want to be first in your life. And so it requires us to take a look at what we're doing as a church and as parts of the church. To see, is Jesus first in my life? Or is there something else there? Okay? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So, here's a test for you. How many fingers do you have? How many? Wrong. You have eight fingers and two thumbs. See, you failed. You failed the first question of the test on body parts. Okay. So, but your fingers are different than your toes, right? How many toes do you have? 10, exactly, okay? But your fingers have a different purpose than your toes, don't they?
Right.
Okay? See how long you can stand on your hands and your fingers. Okay? I mean, you know, some of you who are very agile and strong might be able to do that for, you know, maybe even a few minutes. My granddaughter can walk on her hands, but not for very long. And you see, the point is, God did not give you your hands for you to walk on.
Amen.
He gave you your feet for that. Okay? How many ears do you have?
Two.
How many tongues?
One.
Somebody said that he gave us two ears and one tongue so we would listen twice as much as what we talk.
Right.
Okay? But again, you see, the parts are different. They're all parts of the one body, but they serve a different purpose, don't they?
Right.
He didn't give us a tongue to hear with. He gave us ears. See? And so we need to recognize, just like the physical body that we have has different parts, but they're all still part of the one body, so it is, he says, with Christ. We're all different parts of the same body. And the reality is that some of us are hands, and some of us are feet, and some of us are tongues, and some of us are ears, okay? We all have different functions, but we're all part of the same body. All right?
Amen.
There is one body, but many parts. Just as, he goes on to say, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Okay, we form how many bodies?
One.
Just one. Okay? We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Okay, so parts is parts. Okay, here's another test for you. How many of you realize that Mr. Potato Head, when it originally came out, did not have a plastic head with it? It was designed with all of the individual parts for people to use with any kind of a vegetable, a carrot or a beet or a potato or whatever. That's originally how it was designed. I just thought I'd throw that in for you. I won't charge you anything extra for that this morning, okay? That little tidbit of information there, all right? But you have all these parts that go together to make up one body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he goes on to say, and this is an important aspect because we see this happen so often in the church. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not part of the body.
Well,
is it therefore not of the body? And then also, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So what he's trying to do is to point out that you know, the body, and it may sound kind of silly, but it happens within the Lord's body, that people say, well, I'm not this part of the body, so therefore I'm really not that important. Say, because I'm not the preacher, or because I'm not an elder, or because I'm not a Bible class teacher, or because I'm not this, then I'm not really part of the body. And guess what happens? Guess what Satan does with us when we start thinking that way? Because I'm not part of the body, it's not really that important that I participate in the body. You see how that works? And so then people don't come to church. They're not involved in the church because they don't see themselves as being important enough. When the reality is, all of the parts are important to the functioning of the body. You see? And so nobody gets to say within the body that because I'm not this part, then I don't really belong here. It's not really that important that I be here. He goes on to say, by the way, in the next part of that passage, that no one part of the body has the right to say to any other part, because you're not this, you don't really belong here. You see? So it works both ways. In other words, nobody should look at themselves and go, well, I'm just not important enough, so nobody will miss me if I'm not there. Yes, you are, and when you're not here, you are missed, and it's noticed. But at the same time, nobody gets to say, hey, because you're not as good as me, you don't belong here, so why are you even bothering? No. And again, he uses the physical body to illustrate that. How would that work if our eyes said, well, hey, you know what? I'm not really that important, so I'm just not going to be part of this body anymore. Or your ears, or your hands, or your feet, or whatever the case may be, any part. Okay? Except the appendix. Okay? Except the appendix. The doctors still have not figured out what an appendix is for. Okay? And so they take those things out. Your appendix, let's just rip that thing out. Now, I know sometimes medically that's important. We don't know what the appendix is for, but if you go back to Genesis and you read the story of creation, it says everything that God created, he said that it was
good.
Okay? And he created human beings with an appendix. And just because we don't know what it's for doesn't mean that God didn't put it there for a reason.
Well,
all right?
Amen.
So when we start removing things,
yes,
we need to be real careful, all right?
That's all right.
And that's the same way within the body of Christ. I've never met an appendix part of the church body.
Well,
okay? I never have. Where anybody that I could look at and say, I don't know what you're for. Have you? No, I haven't either. Say, whatever your part is, God puts you there as that part. Look at this next statement. In fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. All right? If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So whatever part you are in the body of Christ, you're that part because God puts you there.
Amen.
See? And that's the part that he wants you to be.
Amen.
All right? And the reason for all of this, he goes on to say, that so that there should be no division in the body. But that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it.
Amen.
If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it.
Amen.
If you don't believe that, okay, one part suffers, the whole body suffers,
Amen.
Just go out there and stub your toe. Okay? And I promise you, you will feel it more than just in your toe.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Because of that. When one part suffers, the whole body suffers. When one part rejoices, the whole body rejoices. Okay? So, I don't know about you, but when I eat ice cream, all right, my mouth has a party, but the whole rest of my body is going, yes, give me some more. You see? Because one part is enjoying something, the whole rest of the body does. That's how God created the body. And the same thing, he says, is true about the church. When one part of this body is hurting, then we all hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone is rejoicing, we all get the enjoyment of rejoicing with that part of the body.
Yes.
That's how God intended for it to be. Okay? Finally, let's talk about bodybuilding. Okay? The church needs to exercise in order to grow. All right? We need to do some exercise, some work, in order to be strengthened. Because otherwise, just like the physical body, if you don't work, if you don't exercise, then your body is just kind of going to be blah. All right? So you get one of those little cubie things, if nothing else, and start... No, never mind. We won't go there. All right? Look at what Paul says here. Romans chapter 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we're all interconnected, in other words, as part of that body. And then he goes on to say, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Look at this next part. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement.
Yes.
All right? If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. In other words, okay, whatever you've been given to do,
do it.
Do it.
Amen.
Okay? Do it. Don't make excuses. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Do it. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because it's what God gave you to do. Okay? And number two, because it is working to help and build up the body. So, if you don't do what God has given you to do, that's going to be detrimental to the body. You see? So that's why we need all the parts of the body doing what God has given them to do. All right? In Ephesians chapter 4, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? In other words, you have all these different parts of the body. What's the purpose of that? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Amen.
Okay? That's the purpose of all of us doing our part so the body is built up and strengthened. All right? That's body building, if you will. And we do that until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, here's a question for you to think about in that part of the passage. Are we ever this side of heaven going to attain to the full measure of Christ?
No,
we're not. So we need to keep working. You say, we need to keep doing it. We need to keep exercising, in other words. All right? Until we attain that. In other words, until the Lord comes back again.
Amen.
He goes on to say, verse 14 and 15, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. The stronger we are, the better we are at defending ourselves against Satan. Okay? Now, you know, when you start feeling a little puny, right? You start feeling a little sick or whatever the case may be, what do? You call the doctor, you get some medicine, right? To help you to feel better. To help you to get over it, right? Well, again, within the body of Christ, it's the same principle. See, we grow and we work at being stronger, right? So that when Satan comes along to try to destroy our faith, we're not going to be dragged away. Okay? So it's important that we continue to build the body and to grow stronger, all right? He goes on to say, from him, that is, through Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. What's that? That's us. Okay? Every single one of us is a supporting ligament. Okay? And every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Amen.
So again, the problem is when some parts aren't doing its work, then the body is not being built up the way that it otherwise could be. So for those people that say, well, I don't need to be at church, well, what you're doing is you're saying, I don't need building up and I don't need to worry about building anybody else up. And that's just the opposite of what he's telling us here. Yes, If you're part of Christ, you need to be part of, and you are part of His church. And you cannot just absent yourself from being built up and from building others up. So we all need to play our part. That's the message. We recognize that all of us have a different part or a different role within the body of Christ. And it's vitally important that every part does what it was created by God to do. Right? So here's the challenge for you. Do you know what part you are of the Lord's body? Say, have you figured that out? If you don't know, that's something I suggest to you, you need to find out. Because you can't function and do what you're supposed to unless and until you know what your role is, what your part is. And if you're having trouble trying to figure that out, then perhaps may I suggest to you that you need to be in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what part He has given you or created you to be in the Lord's body. Because all of us have a part. We're all part of the body. We all have a role or a job to do, if you will. And our doing our part helps to build up the rest of the body. Right. So Tom, here's the last thing that before Tom comes up here, thinking about this part, and we're going to talk more about this in another lesson. Again, the idea of us being a part of the body, we consider what the writer of Hebrews tells us about church and being and participating in the body. He says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Okay, that's part of the bodybuilding process, building up the body. How can we do that? All right? And then he says, not giving up meeting together, all right, that we need to stop thinking that way, that it's okay for me not to be in attendance with the rest of the body. So it's kind of like the body says, well, you know, hey, you're just a leg. We don't need you today. We'll hop along on one. No. No. But he says some are in the habit of doing that. And don't do that. You're part of the body. You need to be with the body. Okay? Some are in the habit of doing that. He says, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So instead of trying to figure out ways we can absent ourselves from the body, we need to be looking at how can I be there with the body so I can encourage all the other members of the body and also be encouraged by them. All right? So, as we've been seeing in this study all along, the church, the word ekklesia in the New Testament for the word church, the called ones or the called out ones. Okay? How does one get into the body of Christ, be a part of the body of Christ? One who is a sinner outside of Christ, how do they get in there? That's what we're going to talk about next week. All right? Tom has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song. And as I said, I want you to be thinking about what is your part in the body. And maybe you don't know what that part is. Maybe you need some help in fulfilling your part. Maybe you know what your part is, but you don't know how do I make this part work? Well, let us know that. We can help you. We can guide you. We can teach you. But the point is that we all need to, as I said earlier, we need to know what our part is, and we need to be doing our part. So if you need help with that or guidance or encouragement, just let us know. If you're not a part of the body yet, you're still outside of Christ, you have the opportunity to become part of the body of Christ right now, today. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. And repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, if there's someone out there that has a prayer request that you would like for us to address, then you can text Wesley. His number will be on the screen at the bottom of the song pages. And you can text him and give him your prayer request, and we will address that this morning. And if there's someone out there who desires to be a Christian, you can do that again as soon as is possible for you. All you got to do is let us know. You can text Wesley, and we will arrange to make that happen as soon as is possible for you. The Lord's invitation is open to anyone. All you got to do is come and let us know. Let's stand together and sing. Tom, come on up.